Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF Friday. It is the 10th of February, 2023. Glad to have you in here. I'm going to, I thought my earphones were like turned down, and now I've turned them up and it sounds, I hear myself so much, it's crazy. So hang with me, bear with me here. I'm just going to go over here and turn this down a little bit. And there we go. There we are. The world is in balance. My headset is in balance right now. Joining us each and every day, of course, our engineer and producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Mr. Zommers, how are you on a fine Friday?
Good morning, Todd. I'm doing pretty well. It was nice to have Pat in the studio for Up North News Radio these last couple of days.
Yes, it is. Did he use the main mic here?
Yes.
There's hair on the mic. There's like, I don't know what's going on here. He's molting or what? There's all kinds of hair on the mic.
That'd be weird if that came from him. I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows how it got there?
I feel like I'm taking a Coke can from Clarence Thomas, but that's another story. Now that I've cleaned off the mic there, I'm doing okay. It was great to have Pat in the studio down from Lake Wissota. See him in person. He looks fantastic, by the way. He looks great. He looks healthy. Well-rested, and good to have him here in the studio. Any big plans for you, Mr. Zommers, over the weekend?
I'm not sure yet. One of my roommates, Ethan, his girlfriend is visiting from Colorado.
Oh.
And I don't know what their plans are. If they plan to be around, then I'll probably be like, all right, we'll play some board games.
Oh, okay.
No. I know what you were thinking.
I thought maybe if they're going to be around, I'm going to be gone.
No, if they're going to be around and they want me gone, I'll be gone.
Okay,
but I imagine if they're around, we'll be able to play some board games and stuff. Surprise, that I'm looking forward to that.
Right? It is board game of the weekday as well on the third hour.
But if they're planning to be out and about or whatever, I might go visit my family in Manitowoc. So,
well, cool.
Either way, it'll be somewhat eventful.
Awesome.
What about you?
No big plans. Probably, I think I just need a weekend to like clean and chill and get my life together. That's what I think I need. I just don't need to go anywhere. I just need to chill out. So I looked at my piles of laundry, and I'm like, yeah, Todd needs to get caught up on that.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing my last clean shirt today.
but please, before Monday, do some laundry.
Yeah.
But although we're in the separate room, so it doesn't really matter to me. You live and let live.
I will. Don't worry. I will do my laundry.
Very good. I will do mine. Well, Aaron and I will come back on Monday smelling fresh and rosy. For all of you who have smell-o-vision or smell radio out there, it is going to be a beautiful day in terms of sunshine today across the WRCE, WXCO, and WLAK listening areas today. If you are listening to us in Richland Center, sunny skies. Absolutely not a cloud in the sky right now at the world headquarters here on University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Sunny skies throughout the day in Richland Center, a high of 32. Tonight, clear skies. You can see the moon, 17 degrees for low. And tomorrow, Saturday, sunny again. Breezy conditions, maybe winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour and 42 degrees. Moving up to Wausau, the middle of the state there, expect sunny skies today, a high of 25. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 12. And Saturday, sunny and a high of 40. And then over in WLAK land, over in beautiful Amory over there, we have sunny skies and 26 today. Tonight, clear skies and 16. And tomorrow, sunny skies and 38. So how about that? Not a drop of precipitation in the forecast the next few days, which is good because I don't know about you, Aaron. When you come in much earlier than I do, wherever you're driving at this morning, here in Madison, people just got the road rage going on. I don't know what's going on. I think it was because it was icy, maybe. They were kind of like, maybe they had to shovel out. It took them longer. People don't have garages to like clear off their car, or then the roads are bad. And then people just want to get there. And boy, they were nasty this morning.
It wasn't too bad for me, but I definitely did have a couple of people where I'm like, I'm going to slow down around this corner because I can't tell what lane they're in.
Right. Well, that's fine. I was in the Beltline. I had this dude driving a taxi, and I was just trying to merge so I could exit the Beltline to get onto Midvale Boulevard. And the guy starts racing me, wouldn't let me get over.
I don't have to take the Beltline to get to work, which is very nice.
Yeah, well, it was hilarious because I finally just said screw it, and I let him go ahead of me, and so I merged in behind him, and then it ends up that I ended up ahead of him on the off ramp anyway. So I guess I got the best of him. And then here I'm on Midvale Boulevard, and I don't know, this mother going to take her kids to school. She was driving a tank. You understand, an Abrams tank that's on its way to Ukraine, or at least it looked like it could be. I drive a Dodge Ram, for goodness sake. I mean, I don't drive a small vehicle, and whatever she was driving, a Chevy Tahoe M1 tank, it dwarfed me, and she's like squeezing me. I mean, she's like coming at me. It was just, I don't know. I was just like, let me get to work in one piece. That's all I want. I just want to do my radio show, talk to our wonderful listeners, and see Mr. Zommers. And I made it. I made it. So the moral of the story is, pack your patience. It'll be okay. Everybody will get there just fine. Put a smile on your face. I know life is rough. I know that it's not fun to chip off ice off the windshield. You can't, because we haven't had to use it in a while, and you're looking for your scraper. You don't know where the scraper's at, so you grab a cardboard box or whatever you find. I get it. It's tough, but we're okay now. We're going to have a good day. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, as Aaron said. We have board game of the week. And, of course, it's what day do we need this better than today? Mimosa Friday today, our last half hour, we will focus on what's going on that's good. What are we thankful for on this Friday, the 10th of January? Come back, give you what you need to know. News headlines after this. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we're gone.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show. It is 15 now past the hour of 8 o'clock, quarter after the hour. Aaron played that song because, yes, there's a little outside office bonding work going on tonight. I will be joining Mr. Zommers, and we are going to join Luke Mathers for a beverage after work today. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. He said, hey, going out, getting a beer with Todd tomorrow. You want to come along? I'm like, sure.
Fantastic. No, I'm looking forward to it. What you guys don't know is we're actually not going for a beer. I bought us 3 tickets to Magic Mike's Last Dance. So we're going to the theater to see that.
Well, you know what? I didn't even know that was out. That'll be an experience.
No, I'm joking. We're not.
I know.
We're not. But you know, oddly enough, I haven't seen the first two Magic Mikes.
Me either.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you would think I would, but no. But Magic Mike's Last Dance opens today.
Maybe we'll have to marathon the first two and then go see that and then be sick of Channing Tatum.
How could you ever be sick of Channing Tatum?
I don't know. Six-ish hours could... I don't know.
No, actually, it's not about Channing Tatum. It's actually Mike Crute. Mike Crute stars in Magic Mike's Last Dance. So you never knew that Mike Crute was a pole dancer on the side, did you?
No, and I think I'd rather not watch that movie now.
we should tell it to Crute and he can talk about that on Devil's Advocates with Dom. I bet Dom has seen Crute dance before.
Probably. He's probably one of the only ones. Well, I think a lot of people have seen him dance. Right. It's just Dom might be one of the few who may have seen him like strip dance.
I don't want to go into a, see, this should be dueling tangents, because we could go down a whole thing. There's like pole dancing that's not stripping. I mean, people put poles up in their house as exercise.
And it's incredible exercise, legitimately.
I guess so. I mean, that's why they look the way they do. But you don't have to strip down to do pole dancing. You just do like a swimsuit or shorts or whatever.
So. Yeah, and it takes some ridiculous strength to move your body around a pole.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I can't do it, but God bless those who can. Anyway, we better go on to the actual news here before we go down too many tangents. It is the 10th of February, 2023. It is a Friday, and here are your headlines and what you need to know for this Friday. Ukraine. Air raid sirens are sounded across Ukraine earlier today as officials warned of potentially widespread Russian missile attacks. Explosions have been reported in the Ukraine-held city of Zaporizhia and the Kharkiv region. While threats of more strikes are being reported elsewhere in the country, Ukraine's main energy supply company introduced emergency power outages in the capital of Kyiv and neighboring regions in anticipation of the strikes, which have been repeatedly targeted at Ukraine's energy infrastructure. The attacks come a day after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a heartfelt appeal to lawmakers in Brussels to allow his country to become part of the European Union, insisting that Europe is Ukraine's home. Earthquake now, the death toll in Turkey and Syria following the magnitude 7.8 earthquake has now surpassed 21,000 people. I was just like,
this woman got around all of us. She did a full, she just tricked the entire Democrat.
We haven't even seen me yet, Mike, because you're so exhausted.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show.
Oh, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, as always.
Earl Ingram Show, take two.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, good news.
We're on the air again?
No. Not to worry, man.
Oh.
Don't ever worry again, because the House is working on behalf of all of us. They're doing their due diligence, and good to know that they're able to work together and do these things that we've been asking them to. We've been asking them to work together, and here.
They did something on a bipartisan deal. What'd they do?
419 to nothing.
Really? What did they voted that oxygen was good stuff?
They voted to pass a resolution condemning China for the spy balloon. Yay!
that balloon, I want you to know the rest of the world is looking at that whole balloon episode, and there are humorous memes about it all over the world, you know, sending up jet planes to shoot down the balloon.
I mean, think about
it. Making it a big deal. I mean, really, yeah. And particularly with spy satellites, I mean, whatever nuance of additional intelligence could be gathered by a balloon, I mean, I suppose they could listen in on phone, but they can do that here on Earth, you know, and they do, I'm sure. You know, there's, yeah.
Well, one of the questions is, clearly our intelligence knew the balloon was around. It couldn't have not known that.
Well, right? Apparently They didn't see.
Or was it too low?
They didn't see the other three. I think it's that it moves so slowly. I think radar might need movement up there to make it easier to see. And I think balloons are moving, you know, at the speed of wind, right?
And so, you couldn't tell whether it's a regular balloon with somebody, you know, or whether it's from China.
Yeah, like, you know, there's the famous Darwin Awards. You heard of that, where they give awards to people who do such stupid things, and it's stupid things that could kill you. So it's like Darwin. The evolution will get rid of the most stupid people. And there's a Darwin Award for the guy who hooked, like, 46 helium balloons up to his yard chair. And then
took off with him
and got up to 19,000 feet and was observed by commercial aircraft as he was up there, way up there in the air. And
I hope the guy had a parachute.
Well, I think the balloons popped one at a time and he came down slowly. Otherwise, they could have sent a jet up and get rid of him.
Well, that award and evolution getting rid of the stupid amongst us.
Yeah.
It didn't work very well. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I was going to say Congress is filled with potential Darwin Award recipients.
And I mean, what a waste of time, right? I mean, this is a big issue. Why is it a big? Well, Joe Biden let it happen, and he endangered the American people.
Well, you know what it is, you know, and they've got this investigation going on. Last show I was on, I was talking about weaponizing, or a couple of shows ago.
We're going to talk about weaponizing.
Weaponizing the word social.
Yeah.
But now they've got, clearly the Republicans are into weaponizing, and they project to others what they do themselves, which is, you know, that there's been this whole process in politics of weaponizing words. Now they're having an investigation into the weaponization of the U.S. government.
Wait, you stole my thunder.
I know. I didn't mean. I didn't.
Sandy, you got to stop stealing my thunder.
Oh, golly.
I mean,
who knew?
I mean, we're there. We're there.
We don't need to talk about it now. I'm sorry.
But Sandy, that is as ridiculous as this 419 to nothing.
Condemning the word socialism, condemning socialism is like this. They almost got a unanimous vote on that. I mean,
all the things that are going on of importance, and we ought to be, as the American people, we ought to be outraged.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could somehow all send a message to the Congress about this nonsense, Democrat or Republican, we should all stand up and say, hey, man, come on. It's ridiculous. You know, ridiculous.
They could do their job. They talk about rebuilding the middle class, and that's like both parties will talk about that. But then what do they do about it? And when they have tools right at hand that they could basically rebuild the middle class by giving them universal daycare and universal health care, they could change the budget of the middle class family dramatically and put them into the black instead of having them all operate paycheck to paycheck in the red, all because the United States has decided in its wisdom to saddle the workers of America now with the cost of health care, the cost of retirement, the cost of paying off student debt, you know, all these things that other people don't face.
But Sandy, there's so many different issues.
Yeah, but just those issues could be addressed and talked about. Is anyone talking about them right now? Well, you and I are. That's it. I don't hear it.
I just, for the life of me, you know, the fact, and I'll tell you something, it's not just on the national level, even on the state level, and sometimes on the local levels. It's easier for politicians. It's easier for them to focus on the little meaningless things because they don't have the courage to deal with the real issues, because it's going to mean that somebody may point the finger at them and they risk their career.
Well, of course. I mean, when you're passing something that hasn't been passed, that's been something like, for instance, universal daycare. There's somebody out there who doesn't want it, and they'll point their finger at you, and you know, and you'll get into a controversy. It's much easier to argue about who uses what bathroom. I mean, you know, that might be, it might be ridiculous, but no one's going to unelect you for it.
You know, and Sandy, it's not, you know, how long ago did they shoot down the balloon? Over a week, I think it's been now. Over a week. And so what did they do? Did they all get together and say, hey, now we've got something of, you know, that we got on them now, right?
Hold on. Say what you just said, but louder.
What?
Just say it one more time.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, the gasoline prices have started to rise again, and Russia has weaponized their production of oil. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to the phone lines. I'm sorry. Hey, Jacob, how you doing, man? You have a question or comment?
Comment on how this balloon situation is just a perfect example of how ridiculous the Republican Party is. You know, part of it is they haven't made it into the 21st century yet. So let me give the Republicans out there a little information. You know, over the past 20 years, the Chinese have dramatically developed their spy satellite capability. You know, and if they don't know this, China send probes to the moon. So they hardly need a balloon to spy on us. They're getting, you know, radio signals and photos from all their spy satellites already, just like we are from their country. We see everything going on over the UK. So thank God we have a President Joe Biden who doesn't panic immediately, like apparently every Republican politician in the country does. These conservative cowards are going to get us killed. They're going to start World War III just because they're a bunch of scared little you-know-whats.
Tell us how you really feel, Jacob. It is nonsensical, man, to see that balloon and think that they're able to actually, you know, go to where the Pentagon is.
What gets me, Earl, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no.
The disingenuous surprise that's expressed by how dare they conduct surveillance over the United States when we have conducted and have ongoing surveillance, ongoing all the time. Yeah. We have hundreds
of balloons.
Yeah, we have hundreds of satellites. You know, we've had U-2 aircraft flying high over Russia or the Soviet Union at the time. We've conducted surveillance forever. We know everyone conducts for surveillance. And like I said last week, surveillance isn't necessarily a bad thing. You can draw comfort from the intelligence you gather that shows you that no one's taking steps today to send missiles your way, right? Surveillance is like an accepted process.
Do you think that the American people, some of the American people, Sandy and Jacob, really think that in 2023, the way that they're conducting surveillance is through a hot air balloon?
Well,
apparently if they watch Fox News, if they take Fox News seriously, they believe that. And the thing is, the Republicans, that's the whole Fox News thing. It's just generating fake outrage day after day. They just come up with a new issue and just, you know, say, oh, this is outrageous. Biden's got to be impeached. But when it happened when Trump was president, apparently it already happened 3 or 4 times when Trump was president. Oh, no problem. We don't care about that.
Well, I think.
I'm sorry, Republicans. You can't attack Joe Biden and then pretend like whatever Donald Trump did doesn't matter. Nobody takes that seriously.
I think Trump never knew there were balloons. I think the balloons went unsighted. But I'm not saying I just think the balloons are, you know, weather balloons go up all the time. So right. There are lots of things up there floating around. Maybe this thing could intercept cell phone calls, but yeah, you know, who knows? You know, what exactly, you know, cell phone is, and these balloons apparently were going over Latin America and all kinds of places.
Right.
So whatever they're gathering is not particularly specific to the United States, and they aren't planning on taking over the world. So, The whole thing's, it's loony. It's loony.
From what I've heard, Donald Trump was using an unsecure Android phone anyways when he was president. So everybody had his cell phone signals, apparently.
Yeah.
Not just the Chinese.
Hey, Jacob, man, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. So Sandy, so Russia is cutting oil production again.
They're cutting weapon, and we're calling it weaponization. So we sanctioned Russia on their oil, okay?
Yes.
And so we've told a whole bunch of countries, and they've all agreed with us, not to purchase oil. And there's an agreement. So the marketplace for Russian oil has gone way down. And in fact, the most recent report last week was that revenues from oil to Russia went down something like 38%. So what would be the normal reaction of someone who is extracting something from the ground and selling it would be you'd slow that down, right? Your sales have gone down. You'd start producing less. Well, you'd start producing less because you don't want to produce surplus oil and drive the price down, and you don't want to have surplus oil in the market in which you're dealing. So this is what happens in the United States, too. I mean, the producers of oil in the United States follow the price of oil with respect to how rapidly they increase production or reduce production. And they do reduce production. They did during the pandemic. So this is not necessarily the weaponization of oil. This is probably, in many respects, a natural market reaction to what's happening to the demand for Russian oil.
And even if it was a weaponization of oil, look at what the pain that our sanctions.
Well, the sanctioning of it was the weapon. Right. It was weaponization of it as well.
Right.
So, I mean, somehow this word weaponization, I found myself using it last week about socialism, but the word weaponization has kind of become very voguish.
Right.
And we want to style everything that people do as, and weaponization is a weaponized word. It's it's malicious to weaponize something.
You know, Sandy, cutting 500,000 barrels a day is a lot of oil. And, relatively speaking, it's a lot of oil. And now the argument is, why can't America ramp up her own oil production to fill that slot?
Well, you know, the people have called in, and other people stand on the sidelines and point at the administration and say, you're the reason that oil production in the United States has gone down. No, actually, electric cars and the future demand for oil has caused large oil companies to worry about how much big money they ought to be investing in infrastructure to support expanded production of oil when they can see on the horizon a reduced demand for oil, and that horizon is 4, 5, 6 years long. So, for instance, refining capacity. You know, that's one of the big limitations on the supply of gasoline in this country. It is the major limitation. How many gallons of gasoline can be created in the year from our refining? Refineries are very expensive. And they aren't building new refineries because the producers are quite certain that the demand for gasoline is going down in the long run, not going up.
Well, you know, there's always going to be a need for oil in the society. If you look at all the different things that come from oil or that oil is used for, Sandy, plastic, clothing, just a whole array of things that we use, we're never going to totally do away with oil. So, you know, they're going to always need that. But as far as, you know, what happens when we're talking about, you know, the electric vehicles, I was reading something earlier today about Germany. Germany is kind of holding up their electric vehicle production, because, you know, maybe it's the fact that they see the impact that it's going to have in their manufacturing of the vehicles that they manufacture. Well, and so, but Germany is not pushing full steam ahead with their manufacturing of electric vehicles?
Well, I mean, everyone has the problem that they have to produce the electricity to meet the electrical demand that is created by the electrification of all these cars. And so Europe is currently trying to adjust how it makes electricity and how it produces enough electricity based on the fact that natural gas was had become in the world a major source of fuel for generating electric generating plants. And now with the strangling of the oil, of the gas from Russia to Germany, for instance, they have real problems meeting electrical demand. So I think a lot of their policy with respect to the electrification of cars has to do with meeting the issues associated with generating enough electricity.
You know, Sandy, the fact that we've got to get used to, because I heard the argument again, well, when Donald Trump was in office, gasoline was $2.50 a gallon. And so that's why, you know, we need Donald Trump back. Gas was at least, he controlled, you know, the price of gas.
Well, incidentally, it was cheap because the pandemic came along and sapped the demand for gasoline. And the price of gas during his period only got that low during the time of the essentially the recession and the demand for gasoline that was brought on by the pandemic. So people, you need to connect all the dots. If you're going to connect some dots, you at least have to look at all the dots.
Yeah, but they don't want to look at all the dots because their narrative works. And yeah, the gas price was $2.50. $2.50 at the time. So, yeah, you know, and that's why we've got Sandy Williams on to put things in the proper perspective. He's back. CJ. What's going on, man? You say what?
Well, thank you again for Earl and Sandy for taking my call, but what planet or what movie are you gentlemen watching? Because the State of the Union address, the president surprisingly said that we're going to need oil for another decade. The man is brilliant. He's just unbelievably so bright. And on day one, he signed an executive order to shut down oil drilling.
Here we go.
Well,
yeah.
CJ, no, CJ.
You try to deny the fact, you and Sandy, but the mere fact is the price of oil and the price of gas when this administration took office was stable.
Did you hear anything that Sandy just said?
Drove a wedge.
Well,
it had already gone up. It had already gone up $1.70 by the time Russia decided to invade because his deterrent that he promised didn't work. And he's the only man that could go toe-to-toe with this Putin. But, boy, he sure proved us wrong, didn't he? Oh, you guys still defend him. So I guess you guys are still waiting for World War III to begin. And China to invade Taiwan as they fly spy balloons across our country, and you guys are still in denial.
Yeah, wow,
ahead, the sky Lazo. Is falling.
You're going to laugh at
CJ,
all the way to
CJ.
The sky World is, War III.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Okay, Chicken Little. Go ahead, Sandy.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, you guys are in denial. Denial? Can you be any more denial? Your party can't.
Well, listen.
The truth is coming, though.
Hey, CJ, you're talking about fiction.
You're talking about
fiction. Listen to the facts.
It sounds like Game of Thrones. winter is coming. Winter is coming. Well, first of all, I don't think anyone projects that there isn't a need for oil. Secondly,
the president did. He was shocked.
No, he wasn't shocked. He was, you know, the notion.
Did you listen to the State of the Union? Did you listen to the State of the Union address?
You know.
Okay, let him respond, CJ.
So, you know, the price of oil has responded as a commodity, and particularly the price of gasoline has as a commodity. The refining capacity is what has defined the supply of gasoline in the country. And the large oil industry corporations that build oil refinery capacity had determined not to build oil refining capacity. Those are based on long-term views of the marketplace for oil, not short-term views. The time period to recover the cost of the of a refinery investment is 10 to 15 years.
Okay, and hold the thought, Sandy. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Listen to enough stories. It's time for the action. Put your money where your mouth is.
But you said you're the real one.
The lie detector test determines that was a lie.
But you said you're the ally.
Wait a second, Gary. Let Ralph explain himself.
Put your money where your mouth is. Be about that action.
Can you feel it, baby?
All right. Welcome back. Can you feel it, baby? that's welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. This Friday's with Sandy Williams. Sandy, you were saying, and we're going to try to let you get your message in.
Well, let
without
me,
interruption.
Yeah, let me say that the CJ called in. We did start out the show today talking about the House of Representatives and how they were wasting their time voting unanimously that the and condemning the balloon from China because it was such a kind of a meaningless issue to take up. Not that the balloon isn't something of interest, but that it's getting a lot too much interest. And then we talked about a number of other issues, none of which did we talk about on the plane of either supporting Biden or attacking the Republicans. Jacob called and Jacob is a partisan and had a partisan point of view. I have tried not to be partisan. And every time CJ calls, all he wants to talk about is your party, I guess my party,
right.
and our party, and what it is on a partisan basis, and to talk about it on a political basis, and that Biden is here and Trump was there. And I guess I've tried to elevate the discussion in the show beyond that, okay, and to get beyond just we, they, and to talk of just about issues as they appear, and to talk about what to do about them. So I don't plan on responding to CJ's discussion, nor his derisive laugh about whatever, because I think what we should try to do is just focus on this show on talking about issues, what what we think the policy alternatives are to issues, and what the problems are.
You know, the more we focus on what is happening, and anybody who can't. I mean, here's another prime example, Sandy. There are clearly differences in the way people look at things, be they Democrats or Republicans. And I still, for the life of me, don't understand why you can't figure out a way to at least find a medium in the discussions, because unless it's something that's like crazy, like what is the guy's name? Senator
Tim Scott.
No, not Tim Scott, but the guy who wanted to have Social Security and Medicare.
Mike Lee. Mike Lee from Utah. There's a social media piece in which he's talking to his supporters and talking about getting rid of it altogether.
Yeah, means tested and. And so, but you just know that that's never going to happen, number one, because no Republican in his right mind. Is it Tim Scott? Because that's the guy who.
They've talked about, look, I think what the problem with the whole discussion of Social Security is that there has been an effort on both sides to weaponize that, okay? There does need to be something done about Social Security.
No question.
In order to keep it so that people who are our grandchildren will be able to receive Social Security if they need it.
And who are putting money in it right now.
Yes. So, you know, the question is, what kind of adjustments do you make? Do you change retirement age? Do you make it so that the very wealthy don't receive Social Security? What are the adjustments you make? There will be adjustments to be made in it. There needs to be a discussion associated with it. And both parties know that. And there have been commissions set up in the past that were bipartisan that looked at it, always reaching a conclusion that there needed to be things done to it. But there are some who call for privatizing it. You know, that's very radical. And I think the 401k experiment has proven that it can't be relied upon. And the people who would talk about privatizing it don't talk about what they will do for the people who make mistakes in the investments in their privatized account, right? So, you know, and so they end up without enough money to retire. What happens then? You know, Social Security was relatively well thought out when it was developed. Most countries have pension arrangements that are government-sponsored. And so, you know, we aren't that different. And we aren't that different from other developed countries with respect to health care. I just heard, you know, they're talking about the problems in the British health care system where they provide health care directly from the government instead of having health insurance provided by the government and health care provided privately. And in that discussion, they pointed out that the percentage of GDP in England that is spent on health care was something like 13%. And in lots of other developed countries, it's 12% or less. The percentage of GDP spent on health care in the United States is 18.5%. Almost 20%, almost 20% of the GDP in this country is spent on health care. And it's because we have such a screwed up health care system that has no controls on costs, all of which are the result of the gerrymandered together system we have. And it's not the result of public health care. It's really the result of the fact that we don't have public.
You know, Sandy, a Social Security. And yes, there's no question that it needs to be addressed. And they've been talking about this for a long time. It, you know, maybe in 15 years, if nothing changes, it's certainly headed towards insolvency. That's nobody questions that. They know that's the case. But I don't know why they can't work together to then, again, there are issues and things that they both can agree to in Congress that will fix it. But they can't even have that dialogue and conversation. So the answer, if you listen to Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott and Ron Johnson, who, as even Mr. McConnell said, we're not going to touch Social Security. Rick Scott, who is a guy, an upstart, who thinks that, you know, he'll say these things, and Ron Johnson, and certainly they're right in saying that we need to address it, but they're not right in talking as if they're going to figure out a way to punish people who right now are on Social Security and need it.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, is that if we don't address it directly, we end up with the discussion in hyperbole. People who are on the fringe, who bring it up for whatever reason, it needs to be discussed, and people need to. It can't be a political third rail that you can't talk about, and that's kind of what people have tried to do it to it now is to say, look, you're going to scare away the vote of every elderly person in this country if you start talking about Social Security or Medicare, and so now it becomes a third rail. Well, we don't want to kick this can down the road too long, but on the other hand, we need to make sensible, we need to address it sensibly and carefully and not wildly and politically.
Hey, Jack, man, you got to hang on. We'll come to you on the other side. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.